I was a student pastor before I stepped into the senior pastor role at Calvary Baptist Church, and I have to tell you, when I was in Bible college, and I shared this with Dr. Dan Anderson when he came in about November, I had everything mapped out. I was going to be a student pastor, associate pastor, get some years under my belt, but God seems to be on his own timetable, not ours. And so God can use any of us, and me being up here this morning, I can tell you right now, y'all have a better shot at being more successful than I am if I'm up here and God can use me. And so I'm excited to just meet you hopefully after today. I'd love to shake your hand, have a conversation, pray with you, because I realize the days in Bible college. Okay, I grew up at a public school in Radford, Virginia. I'm back in my hometown. God is so good. I went to a church down in North Carolina for a short time, associate pastor there, and he brought me home. I felt like the way things were going at Calvary, I felt like Nehemiah and the walls were down, and God called me back there. But all that to say is when I was at Bible college, I thought I was going to Bible college and everything was just going to be so great. Satan couldn't have any hold on me at Bible college because I was at Bible college. Well, what I soon realized and understood was some of the roughest days of my spiritual walk happened at Bible college. And so this morning, I have a message on my heart. We actually began a new series at Calvary yesterday, and I'm bringing that message I had yesterday because it's just on my heart, and it's a great message for this morning for you all here in Bible college. If you would, open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 32 this morning. Exodus chapter 32. And as you are going there, we're going to look at a story that some might look at and initially say, how is this going to relate to us today? The topic that we are going to talk about and the topic that we just started introducing as a series at Calvary is a topic that many people in church settings wouldn't use, a term that they wouldn't use for their everyday lives. Now, since you are Bible college students, I'm sure this term is used in your life, but it's a term called idols. A term called idols. And so with February being the love month, and Valentine's Day is Thursday, as Dr. Anderson reminded you, so men, don't forget, it's just a few days away. And on the topic of Valentine's Day, see, I've been coined with the term, I'm corny at our church, so I always like puns as jokes. So I have three puns for you just to wake you up. You can boo at them, you can laugh at them. Actually, don't boo, just laugh, even if you don't think it's funny, okay? So I came across this, never thought of this before, but why do skunks celebrate Valentine's Day? Because they're very sentimental. That's the response I like after puns. Gotcha now. What did the bat say to his girlfriend on Valentine's Day? You're fun to hang around with. I like it. Thank you for the support up here. Lastly, last one. I won't go too far. I have tons of them, but why didn't the skeleton want to send any Valentine's Day cards? Because his heart just wasn't in it. So in the month of love, I want to talk to us about something this morning, the concept of things not to love. And as we've already looked at the passage in 1 John chapter 2, we are not to love the things of the world. And I want to remind you, even though you're at Bible college, the things of the world creeps into your life. I've been telling people throughout the week at Calvary, we're in a really good season right now at our church. I mean, a really good season. We've gone through a lot of transition the last 5 or 6 years, and God has finally brought us to the point where we are just in a really good season. But I'm reminding our people, in the moments of praise, Satan is on to plan B. And I've told people last Monday, Mondays are rough for pastors, last Sunday we had a great service. Pastor Joe and I were just celebrating, and then Monday morning we came in, and boy, the things that awaited for us on our desk. And guess what they were? They're all about people being mad at someone else in our church. And I just had to keep telling people, in the moments of praise, Satan is on to plan B. And so here in Exodus 32, we're going to look at a story of God's people turning to an idol. And this morning, I wanted to relate it to us because I believe as Christians, the church, and as believers, as followers of Jesus Christ, we sometimes don't recognize idols that are in our life that hinders us from being faithful servants to God. Let's begin reading in Exodus 32 this morning, beginning in verse 1. And it says, and when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said to him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And Aaron said to him, break off the gold earrings which are in the ears of your wives and your sons and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off their gold earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron, and received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Things not to love. See, we have to understand this story. See, here we see God's people, and Moses is up on the mountain talking with God, having a conversation with God, where God's given him the Ten Commandments, given him the rules for the tabernacle, and all these lists that the Israelites were supposed to obey and live by. Well, if we really recall this point in Exodus, we understand that the Israelites have seen so many miraculous works by God, haven't they, to this point, that showed that God was with them, he never left them, and he was going to protect them. And we saw the 10 plagues come to Egypt and toward Pharaoh to allow the people of God to escape. The parting of the sea, they walked across the dry land, and when the Egyptians came behind them, the Lord just engulfed the Egyptians behind him. He protected them in battles. The Israelites, just a new group, formed group of people. They weren't the strongest groups of people, but they got into some tough battles. And God showed himself that he was with them and he was faithful with them. The list continues. He led them at night by a flame and by a pillar of a cloud. That he showed his presence with the Israelites, that I am with you and I'll never forget you or leave you. But we get to the moment where man became impatient. How many of us have ever gotten impatient in our life? Those of you who keep your hands down, shame on you on lying in chapel this morning. We've all gotten impatient. You know, the times I get most impatient is you can just get in a car with me and let's get on the interstate, and it doesn't take long before I'm very impatient, or on the basketball court. We've all got impatient. And see, God's people here, they got impatient. You know what impatience leads to? Selfishness. And so that's what we see here in this text, that God's people became impatient and they created their own idol. They gathered their earrings and their jewelry and they found themselves bowing down to a cow. Bowing down to a cow, and then their words were, this is the God that led us out of Egypt. How sinful. If you want a good glimpse into man's heart and how deceitful we are, we see God's people get impatient, they become selfish, and they start bowing down to a golden cow that they made out of earrings and saying, this is the God that brought us out of Egypt. This is the God we're going to sacrifice and worship. All because their leader and the Lord their God was talking on a mountain and they became impatient. Where am I getting with this? We see in Exodus 32 four truths regarding idols in our own lives. You might be sitting here this morning and you say, well, Timothy, I don't go home and I don't worship down to a cow or an animal. There's no statue in my dorm room. There's no statue at my house that I bow down to. So I'm not an idol worshiper. Well, let me just take you through Exodus 32 this morning. And I want us to all realize that each and every person in this room, including myself, has idols in our lives that we must destroy. We must destroy. Number one about idols is this. Idols are always present in your life. The battle for idol worship is always in your life. I want you to take a look at verse 1 again with me. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mountain, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said to him, Up, make us gods which that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us out of Egypt, we don't even know what happened to him. That guy that kind of led us out, we don't even know what happened. I think he left us. See, what we see in verse 1 is an urgency, don't we? A craving. See, the people needed someone that's bigger than them. They were missing their human leader, Moses. They needed someone that was bigger than themselves. They realized that Moses was conversing with God on the mountain, so they felt like there was no one to worship at that time. You see what I'm trying to get at? Idols are always present in our life, and they're present in your life because you were made to worship. And when you don't worship the Lord thy God, guess what? You're going to fill that void with something else. Your Creator has made each and every one of you this morning. He's wired us together to worship something or to someone. Obviously, we understand from 1 Corinthians 10:31 that whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it to the what? Glory of God. You know what that verse comes, you know what the conversation is before that verse? Idols. Paul in the New Testament. So if you're sitting here this morning and say, well, we're in the Old Testament, it doesn't really relate to us. If you're one of those individuals, which I was for the longest time, you have to understand we go to the New Testament that seems like it's more practical. All of God's Word is for us, by the way. All of God's Word is for us. But even in the New Testament, when he was talking to church people, Paul had to say, don't be idol worshipers. It's a battle. You are made to worship. You are always worshiping something in your life. Now, what is an idol? What would be a good definition of an idol? I stole this definition from Kyle Idleman, who wrote the book Gods at War. And he said, it's anything that becomes the purpose or driving force of your life other than God himself. Anything that becomes the purpose or driving force of your life other than God himself. So, down to Pastor Timothy's words, and I don't claim to be the brightest crayon in the box. I have no shame with that. So back, it's whatever gets you out of the morning and causes you to live each day. The first thought that's on your mind the moment you wake up and that motivates you to do the actions through your day is the idol that you're serving currently in your life. See, because we have been made to worship, Satan is always competing for that worship. And you have to understand that if your life is not designed or it's not structured or it's not motivated to do every single thing to the glory of God, I mean, every single thing is in every conversation you have with individuals, every action you do, every reaction you have, every response you have to something, every time you get on your social media page, Facebook, Instagram, your life behind closed doors, your life in front of a group of people, if it's not all surrounded with the goal of glorifying the name of Jesus Christ, then you have an idol in your life. Idols are always present in your life. Now, we have to also understand this. Again, sin is always trying to steal our worship. In moments of praise, Satan is always on to his plan B. And guess what? He came in the form of a snake in Genesis 1, which is one of the craftiest animals out there, reptiles out there, whatever technical word you want to use for that. It's crafty. And so each time when I say in moments of praise in your life, Satan is on to plan B, you have to understand whether he's on plan B, C, D, E, F, Z, he's becoming more crafty and disguised each time he does it. And see, that's when we start realizing that there's idols in our life and Satan is grabbing that worship away from the Lord and causing you to be distracted. Number two is this. We have to understand that idols can be anything. They don't have to just be statues. They can be anything. And as we go back to verse 1, we see then the Israelites, they had a desire to worship something because that's the way we've been created. And so what did they tell Aaron, who's the right hand of Moses? He's supposed to be a leader, by the way. Was Moses up on the mountain? He's supposed to be the godly leader here. They go up to him and say, make us a god. And what do we see in verse 2? Aaron said to him, break off the golden earrings, which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me. And the people did it, and he brought them together, and he made a golden cow. You know what that tells me right there? If he could take the earrings of all the people, which I wouldn't want to touch anyone's earrings that they've been wearing all day, by the way, but if he took all the earrings and the jewelry someone wore, and he put it together to make a cow, they've been seeing God's faithfulness all their life, but then they get the earrings, they put it together to make a cow. They could have made anything. They made a cow, and they bowed down to it and worshiped it. That tells us that idols can be anything in our own lives. Does it have to be a physical object? It could be a physical object. It could be a paycheck. It could be a house one day. It could be the car that you drive right now. It could be friendships you have. It could be relationships you have. Since it's Valentine's Day this week, your boyfriend or girlfriend could be your idol. I wrestled with that. My relationship with my girlfriend dominated my life. And as a result, it put me through some of the toughest times in my life when I was in high school. I was so far from the Lord. I was a guy that loved to talk to people, loved to be goofy, loved to just make people laugh. And I was an athlete, all that stuff. I have to be honest, I loved the attention. I loved, if someone came in and they had a bad day, I loved to just make them laugh and make sure that. But I got to a point where I was so gripped in my heart. I didn't know it at the time, that I would sit at my desk at school and just ball my hands up in a fist and be so angry. And I remember one night I said, maybe I should start reading my Bible. My parents made me go to church and all that stuff. I never was reading the Bible, and I kind of was in church, kind of wasn't, ever went to youth group. And I said, maybe my last resort is my Bible. That was my thinking at that time. I started reading the Bible, and I remember praying in my room, Lord, if there's anything in my life that is causing me not to walk with you, and keep in mind, I wasn't this mature Christian at the time, but I said, anything in my life that needs to be removed, you remove it from me right now. And you wouldn't believe, the girlfriend at the time wasn't healthy for me. She texted me the next day and said, I think we need to take a break. And I knew it was an idol because I cried like a little baby for 3 or 4 weeks after that. But then I realized that she called me about a month ago. I said, I think we're done. And I knew at that moment there was a peace that came over me that said, God, that's what's been keeping me back. And wouldn't you believe, 6 months later is when I went on my first mission trip and I was called into the ministry. And then at that moment, I said, I'm not going to get in a relationship at all. Yeah, forget it. You know what? I just need to focus on God. And someone I grew up with that I always looked up to, she was more stronger in her faith. We grew up in elementary school, went to high school. We began dating and through Bible college. And we made it a priority that we are only going to grow closer together as long as our love for the Lord's growing closer. Idols can be anything. It can be relationships. But you know what else it could be? It could be anxiety. It could be stress, worry. It could be anger. Idols can be anything in your life that dominates your thinking and that steals your joy and steals your worship and attention from God. Again, the Israelites have seen so much to this point. 1 Corinthians 10:19 tells us that idols can be anything. You know the one time Satan is mad at you in life? I finally came to this conclusion that Satan's only mad at me for one reason in my life, and that is when everything in my life, as I just mentioned, every single thing in my life points to Jesus Christ. That's when Satan is mad at you. How much spiritual warfare have you been through this week? You know why Bible college is one of the toughest times of your Christian walk? Is because you're probably growing closer to the Lord. And I know you are at this university, at this college. Satan hates when your worship is all directing toward God. If you're not feeling anything, if you're not feeling any tug or fight with Satan right now, then you might have to wonder, well, has he placed an idol in my life that I'm not aware of right now? Some questions to ponder about what identifying idols in your life. And we're going to be finishing up here already. I've, you know, just a short message this morning, but some questions. What disappoints you? Some questions to think through. What disappoints you the most in life? Number two is this. Where do you spend your money? Where do you spend your money? Or you can rephrase it and say, where do I sacrifice my money? Number three is this, and I can give these to you afterwards if I'm going too fast, but where is your sanctuary? I joked with our church yesterday, don't say 624 6th Street, Radford, Virginia, at Calvary Baptist Church. Where is your personal sanctuary? Where do you go at in times of trials? Where do you go at times of stress? Where do you go at in times where your tank is just on empty? Where do you go to first? Is it social media? Is it friends? Is it addictions that you're hiding right now? Is it anything else except going on your knees before the Lord and saying, Lord, you promised, here I am, I'm weary and I'm weak and I need rest right now. Where's your sanctuary? What angers you? What just makes you mad the most in life? What angers you? What worries you the most? And then one more question. What worries you the most? And what are you always thinking about? Those questions should help us identify idols in our life. Okay, so now we know that idols are always present or always competing for our worship in our life. We understand that idols can come in the shape and form of anything. So now we get to the point about idols. What is God's attitude toward idols? That's number three. Idols anger God. Idols anger God. We go back to Exodus chapter 20. We think of the Ten Commandments. What were the first two commandments listed? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And what was the second? Thou shalt not make any gods besides me. And I worded that myself. But thou shalt not have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or anything like that that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath. God is angry when idols come into our life and we give our attention to it and we allow them to stay. We read in Exodus 32, we skip down a few verses to verse 7. And the Lord said unto Moses, go, get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and sacrificed therefore unto it. And said, these be thy gods, O Israel, that have brought us out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people. And behold, it is a stiff-necked people. We would say today, they are hard-headed. Now, therefore, let me alone, leave me alone that my wrath may wax hot against them. See, God wasn't just offended. God just wasn't like, eh, you know, God was wrathful against idols. And if God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, His same anger and His same wrath is the same yesterday, today, and it will be tomorrow. Some of the strictest judgments we see throughout Scripture is all tied back down to idols. God is angry when idols come into our life and we don't do something about it. Now, what are we to do with idols? Last point this morning. Number four, idols must be destroyed. They must be destroyed. We see in verse 19, and it came to pass as soon as he came off the mountain unto the camp, they saw the calf and the dancing. I always have to kind of chuckle. The people were dancing and worshiping and just a lot of sin. And we don't have time to really break down these verses, but a whole lot of sin here, we know. And Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and broke them beneath the mountain. He took the calf which they had made, and he burned it in the fire and grounded it down to powder and strawed it up into the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. It reminds me of kind of the old days when you would say an inappropriate word. What would the parents make you do? Eat soap. Wash your mouth out with soap. Moses took that calf, I could see him coming down, and he took it, he burned it, he crumbled it up, powdered it down, he put it in the water and made every single person of the Israelites drink of it to teach them a lesson. Idols must be destroyed. And they must be destroyed because we remember in Matthew chapter 6 that you cannot serve two masters. When you say yes to one thing, you always say no to the other in life. And it reminds me of the story. This is where we'll conclude this morning. It reminds me of the story of Michael Jordan. We all know. Does anyone know Michael Jordan in this room? He was an okay basketball player back in the day. I think Magic was better, but we'll have that debate later. Well, Michael Jordan went to his friend's house, Fred Whitfield. And Fred was a president and operating manager of another NBA team at this time. And they're at each other's house, and they're about to leave. And Michael Jordan turned around and said, hey, man, it's getting kind of cold outside. Can I borrow a jacket? So Fred said, yeah, man, you go over to the closet. You pick out any that you want. So Michael Jordan said, great, man, I appreciate it. He went over there. Now, we understand that Michael Jordan was a Nike guy, right? And he still is. So he goes and opens up the closet. Well, what Michael Jordan found in that closet, he wasn't too happy about. See, half the closet was filled with Nike brand, but the other half was filled with Puma brand. And see, at that time, Fred was best friends with Michael Jordan, so he had all the Nike stuff, but he was also friends with ex-NBA player Ralph Sampson, who was sponsored by Puma. And so Michael Jordan got angry. And so the next thing he did was, all of a sudden, Fred was sitting in the living room. There's a book written about it. He said, all of a sudden, I see Michael Jordan take all the Puma stuff out of the closet. He's like, what is he going to do with it? And all of a sudden, he comes in the living room, and he piles it up right there before me. And then all of a sudden, Michael Jordan walks into an opposite direction into the kitchen. And he grabs the biggest butcher knife that he could find and pulls it out and comes back and he takes every item of clothing and cuts it up, rips it up, destroys it. If I was Fred, I would be like, man, you can leave because I don't even know if I'm safe in my own house right now with you with that butcher knife in your hand. But he destroyed every part or every Puma sponsored article of clothing. Well, after he did that, all the chopped up pieces were in a pile. Michael Jordan picked them up. He took them outside to the dumpster and dumped them. Keep in mind, Michael was at Fred's house. So Michael Jordan came in, and I could just imagine Fred Whitfield like, what in the world? Michael Jordan comes in with a little grin on his face, puts his arm around him, and say, hey, man, call my Nike representative tomorrow, and let's replace everything that I just did for you, but don't let me ever catch you with anything else except Nike stuff in this house. And I'll never forget the last word that he said to him, you can't ride the fence. See, that's when it comes back to 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. Do not love the things of the world, because the things of the world are passing away, but we have to do the will of the Father, because that's what lasts forever. Friends, Bible college students, those of us in the ministry, professors here this morning, we can't love the things of the world while completely serving and doing the will of the Father. You can't ride the fence. And Moses, you'll see at the end of Exodus 32, he looks at the Israelites and he says, those who are on the Lord's side, come to me. He made them make a choice. So this morning, you know what idol is in your life. I can't tell you what it is. You know what idol is in your life. What idol must you destroy right now? Because you know God is angry at any idol that's in. What idols do you need to destroy in your life so you can be a faithful servant to your God?